Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And a good Monday morning to you, live and local from our Green Tree Studios. Still just me at this point. Who knows? That might be changing soon with the restrictions being lifted everywhere. But still just me hanging out here in studio. It's the early morning show. My name is Matt Cole. Be here with you to about 5:40 before the Fan morning show pre-show. And coming off really an interesting weekend. And I find myself, I'll be honest with you, I find myself kind of unable to just launch into sports today, given the issues of racism that have come to the forefront again over the past few weeks. And it's something that didn't just manifest itself the past few weeks, but is ongoing. And the senseless murders of George Floyd and countless others before him, and the hatred that is still occurring in our country, it breaks my heart. And it has caused me to evaluate, to educate myself, and to listen. And I'm praying for everyone that has dealt with the effects of racism and can't pretend to comprehend the trials they face daily. I do know that each person on this earth has value and purpose. And each person is created in God's image, and we're called to love all of humanity as God first loved us, no matter the color of one's skin. So this conversation isn't over just because I'm about to move on here in a second into what a normal show for me sounds like at this time of day and on this station. This is just the beginning. So please reach out to me if you're interested in continuing the conversations, because these are the ones that we need to have during these times. And that is, at the very least, what should be at least what I take away from this weekend. All right, big three takeaways. Always do this coming off of a weekend and coming in on a Monday morning. And just kind of look at the sports world in general and give, you know, what I took away the most. And so I'll start here with number three. Here we get a voice guy coming in here.
Number three.
There we go. And it's the possible return of Antonio Brown continues. And this time it's with Deion Sanders. He posted on his Instagram that he is training with Antonio Brown. Everybody's training with Antonio Brown in Florida. If you're in Florida, you're a former athlete, you've got anything to do with football in the NFL, come find Antonio Brown. You can go work out with him. This posting on his Instagram account, Deion Sanders says, quote, "My son came to town to work. On his game, on his life, on his thoughts, on his tomorrow, and on Antonio Brown. I love him to life, and I can't wait to witness this comeback story called A, B, and C, as in S-E-E. I know what I know, and pray you all get to see what I know to be true about Antonio Brown. God bless all y'all, and please have a productive, peaceful day. We are growing and going." So Antonio Brown has already worked out with Lamar Jackson, Marquise Brown, Dwayne Haskins, Stephon Diggs, Chad Johnson. The list goes on and on, really. And again, I'll say that I've said this just about every time that he has, you know, it's been reported that he's worked out with somebody else. that if he would walk onto a team today, I believe Antonio Brown would still be a top receiver in this league. I don't think he's over the hill just because he's past 30 and because he has taken a year off from NFL play, essentially. You know, I think that he is a workout machine. That's all he knows how to do. That's what he's done his whole life, to train for football. And I think that he's been doing this the whole time. He hasn't been just sitting on his couch. And I think that I'm not the only one who thinks this way. That there's got to be some executives, some front office types across the league who feel like Antonio Brown would walk on to their team right now and still be capable of being a top receiver in the league. And so I think there are going to be teams out there that kind of pursue him. But I think there is something going on here with Roger Goodell where he really seems like he's going to block him from the league. I think AB spoke out one too many times against the NFL and aired his grievances one too many times, where Goodell isn't necessarily running and leaping and jumping to do everything he can to bring Antonio Brown back. I think he feels like the NFL product doesn't really need a guy like that around, even though he could be a top player still. And those sexual assault allegations in the investigation, if there is any still, if that's still happening, isn't really progressing at all. So I think it's all in Rodgers' hands. There will be teams that go for him. I don't think that's the issue. It's just a matter if he's cleared to play in the league again. And at this point, who knows if that's happening. All right, so that's my first takeaway from this weekend. Number two. Is this NHL plan feasible? And I say this because there are reports now of the deputy commissioner saying that daily testing will happen in the NHL if they are going to play games, and lays out what the cost of that would be. And so, you know, there would be, you know, daily tests that each cost about $125. And it's estimated that, you know, 300,000 of them will be needed, or 30,000 of them, excuse me, will be needed just to get through the playoffs. And so that cost racks up tremendously. It seems to me like it's a little over the top, but I get it. These players are going to be making close contact with each other consistently. And even if they are in hub cities, they'll be in contact with other people beyond just their teammates. I understand that. I just wonder if, first of all, these players are going to get sick of being tested every day. I know that that's going to happen because it's going to be rough. Unless there's some new way to do it that they will undergo that the rest of the general public has not undergone. I've seen and I've heard those tests are not very pleasant. And I've been fortunate enough to have to not get one myself. But I've heard they're not just a walk in the park. And there's also the money aspect. If you spend millions of dollars, and if it is $30,000 needed at those prices, then that's $3.75 million just for daily tests. How much of that cost, you know, racks up into what they will eventually make during these playoffs if they play these games? Now, the NHL is... what it has going for it is that it's going to be the only sport back, so maybe money shouldn't be as much of an issue. Maybe they'll make that back easily with just capturing the sports world in a sports-starved country right now. But I also find it interesting that they want next season not to be affected, but yet they only are going to start training camps, from what we've heard, on July 10th. You know, multiple weeks into July, and having June just completely wiped out with no real activity there. So how is next year not going to be affected? And how tight is that timeline going to be? It might be too late of a start not to have some kind of abbreviated schedule in 2021. So this week they've got to hammer out the hub cities, and they've got to hammer out that timeline. There's not a whole lot of time to waste. And there's a lot of money that's going to be spent on this daily testing. So maybe it is still feasible at this point, but there are still roadblocks along the way for the NHL. And then my first takeaway, number one takeaway from this weekend.
Number one.
Unfortunately, I'm pessimistic about baseball. Now, there is the latest proposal from the players that is expected to hit today. It came out late last night of what the next step is here and how the players are responding and reacting to this latest proposal put together by Major League Baseball. Now they've put together another counter proposal. Basically, it is we'll play more games to generate more revenue rather than you cut our salaries again. Calls for a 114-game season that would begin on June 30th and end on Halloween. And would, you know, has some other financial things in place that would kind of, you know, it would protect against high-risk players having to go out there and play and then still receiving their salary. Also, another interesting note to this is that they want 2 years of expanded playoffs from 10 teams to 14 teams. So not just this year, but also next year, I guess, to also bring in more revenue into the game. So now the league just has to figure out if it works out for them financially, if any of that makes any sense for them. And what makes me pessimistic is this report from Buster Olney that came out over the weekend that owners are perfectly willing to shut down the season. It says sources say there is a group of owners perfectly willing to shut down the season to slash payroll costs and to reduce losses. And, you know, it points out all of the different financial cuts across Major League Baseball, including the Pirates and Bob Nutting, using the shutdown as an avenue to suspend team contributions to employee 401k plans. What's going on with the Oakland A's? They've decided to eliminate the $400 weekly salaries of minor leaguers. All of these different things going on in the league point to these owners say, hey, we're willing to just cut costs and just forget about a 2020 season and regroup. And the fact that that leaked out publicly is scary for the season, I believe. And I think it's time to start thinking about what a lost 2020 season means for the Pirates, for their revenue streams, their money situation that we already know is tight, or at least is handled that way. That's a very real possibility when owners start talking about things like that. Even though the players' union has come back with yet another counter proposal, it's still very much on the table that we don't even see baseball at all this summer. All right, coming up next, some things that you may have missed, at least from the last 12 hours or so in the sports world. And then to end the show today, got a question about the Steelers and a question about these Stanley Cup playoffs. The Steelers question comes off of a story in CBS Sports over the weekend about moves that would make them a Super Bowl contender, and then the Stanley Cup. Are we going to have an asterisk around the winner of this thing? Or is that going too far? That's all coming up next. It is the early morning show here on 93.7 The Fan. Some things that you may have missed from yesterday, or at least this weekend in sports. Let's get to it.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
More Michael Jordan stories. You've heard a lot of it in The Last Dance, if you watched any of that, and probably over the last few weeks or so. But this one more story here, if I could share it, because I find it very interesting. We all know that Michael Jordan takes everything so hyper-personally. And when he took over as president of basketball operations for the Washington Wizards, one of his players, Laron Prophet, talked trash to him throughout the 2000 and 2001 season. And as Richard Hamilton explained in Showtime's All the Smoke, he eventually traded Prophet just because of that to the Orlando Magic during the 2001 offseason. And he tells a story about how one time, you know, during a game, Prophet said, you know, he hit a shot on Michael Jordan. And as he's running down the court, he said, yeah, you can't guard me with those old knees. And Michael Jordan was heated. He was heated to the point that when I went to my exit meeting, Jordan was like, your man, he's out of here. And so Michael Jordan calling the shots in Washington because of a guy that was trash-talking him, which I find hilarious because Michael Jordan was known as a legendary trash-talker himself. But as soon as it goes against him, of course, he wields that power and gets a guy out of there. And I guess, you know, if it's between Michael Jordan and LaRon Prophet. Michael Jordan's going to win that battle every time. Washington Nationals pitcher Sean Doolittle announced on Twitter last night that he and his teammates will cover a pay cut that minor league players in the organization have to endure. He said, quote, after hearing the Nationals minor league players are facing additional pay cuts, the current members of the Washington Nationals Major League Baseball Club will be coming together and committing funds to make whole the lost wages for their weekly stipends. All of us were minor leaguers at one point in our careers, and we know how important the weekly stipends are for them and their families during these uncertain times. And he goes on to say that minor leaguers are an essential part of our organization, and they're bearing the heaviest burden of the situation, that their season is likely to be canceled and that they're taking all of these pay cuts. So Sean Doolittle and I guess many of the Washington Nationals are stepping up to pay those minor league salaries. We've seen this across the league, David Price doing the same thing as well. And it's a little troubling to see that major league players have to go ahead and do this and take this next step to, you know, kind of cover the costs for these minor league players. You know, we always talk about billionaires and millionaires and how they're fighting over money. Well, this is the millionaires stepping in to kind of take care of the guys underneath them and not the billionaires who have these guys underneath them in their organization. They're pinning it, not pinning it on the players, but players are feeling the need to step up and to cover those costs right now. Just kind of an ugly truth as to what's going on in sports, really, but also in Major League Baseball as a whole. And then finally, John Harbaugh was talking about Lamar Jackson over the weekend and said he had a tremendous 2019 season. You know, MVP-like year, of course. And Lamar Jackson, the one thing that he's got to do is got to throw the ball down the field more or more consistently. He said those corners are going to be one-on-one and those safeties are going to be one-on-one against receivers, especially on downfield throws. And we've got to make them pay for it. He said this in a press conference over the weekend for the Ravens website. It says, I really do believe that's the next step for this offense from an execution standpoint. And I feel like this is going to be a microcosm of what the talking points are going to be like for Lamar Jackson. It's going to be, okay, that season was probably a fluke. Let's see you prove it again. And let's, you know, add on to your game. I don't think people are going to believe that what Lamar Jackson did last year was all that real, and especially around here, right? We always want to say, oh, it's a fluke, and oh, he's going to get hurt. Oh, that style of play isn't going to last. You know, we don't have to worry about Lamar Jackson. And it's going to have to be steps and steps and steps and steps for Lamar Jackson to have to prove himself, no matter what kind of stats that he puts up. And John Harbaugh kind of laying down the next thing for Lamar Jackson to accomplish. I don't know. In my eyes, I think the Baltimore Ravens are primed for, you know, another great season, another 13-3, 12-4 year. And that roster is stacked up pretty well. I don't know what the deal is with Lamar Jackson in the playoffs, but as far as the regular season, they are a huge problem for the Steelers in the AFC North. And speaking of the Steelers, I'll wrap up the show coming up next with some Steeler talk and going over a CBS Sports story that goes over some Steelers moves that they have to make in order to be a Super Bowl contender. Is that really true? We'll get into that next. It is the early morning show here on 93.7 The Fan. My name is Matt Cole. I'll be here with you for a few more minutes before the Fan Morning Show pre-show at 5:40. Appreciate you starting the week right here on The Fan. Something on CBS Sports that I saw late last night, and this from Brian DiArdo of CBS Sports, writing, the three moves that the Steelers must make or should make to be Super Bowl contenders, including, well, I won't give away the last part of the headline. I'll just roll through these three moves that he says. Number one, it's add veteran players to the running back and receiver positions. Okay? Says Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner, the team's top receivers and running back, entering their final season under contract. Yet another reason to acquire veteran players at those positions. Cites Devontae Freeman still out there, LeSean McCoy. And, you know, rolls through the different names there. Demaryius Thomas, Chris Hogan, Josh Gordon, all available. Okay. Number two, bring in more depth at inside linebacker. Okay, I agree there as well. There are some serious issues behind Devin Bush. And says, you know, that there are still some names out there. Alec Ogletree, Wesley Woodyard, Darren Lee, and a very interesting name that I could see happening, Mark Barron, still out there. And then number three is sign Cam Newton. He believes that that is going to be yet another move that the Steelers can make to be true Super Bowl contenders this year. I look at that list, I can't necessarily disagree. All of those moves would make sense to me, and all of them would benefit the Steelers not only in 2020, but beyond. But where are you getting the money to make all of these moves here? Because right now the Steelers have 5.7 in salary cap space, at least according to overthecap.com. I don't know how accurate that number is. I don't know if anybody knows the true cap numbers behind the Pittsburgh Steelers, unless you're a front office member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yes, it all sounds great to add in veteran players at the running back, at the receiver positions, and at inside linebacker. But how are you going to afford all of that? This isn't like a fantasy world here. Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner, the fact that they are going into contract years, I think can greatly benefit them. That they're going after not only success in 2020, but going after the money after this season. So I think that can only be a good thing. I understand what he's saying about the future there. But as far as their performance for 2020 and being Super Bowl contenders, I think it might work out to be in their favor. And then inside linebacker, I don't know. I think there is a possibility that Mark Barron ends up back on this team. Probably not in the same role, and I wouldn't want him to be in the same role. And definitely for not as much money. But I wonder if that, you know, isn't something that's in the back of their mind, where once they get their rookies signed and they can evaluate how much money they have to make those last-minute moves before they've got to shut things down for the offseason, and maybe there's a few million sitting there in salary cap numbers that they can go out and get somebody. And Mark Barron's still there, a guy that was here last year, knows the system a little bit. Wouldn't be surprised if that's a move that they look into making. And then as far as Cam Newton, yeah, great. That would be awesome. I think Cam Newton's got a lot left in him. I think that he's going to start for a team eventually this year. We're going to see him start games in the NFL. But it's just not going to be here. It's just not. I mean, I've given up that line of thinking and even, you know, thinking that there's any kind of hope there for a backup quarterback being brought in. It's Mason Rudolph behind Ben Roethlisberger. It's been made clear, and that's that. So, will these moves be? I think right now the Steelers, honestly, are Super Bowl contenders. I believe that is the ceiling. Now, you know, how much of contenders, quote unquote, are they really? That remains to be seen. I think there's a slight chance right now going into the season with this roster that they can win a Super Bowl because there are so many questions. Because we don't know if James Conner can stay healthy or how healthy Ben Roethlisberger is. So I can't go ahead and say that they are one of the favorites to win it. But do I think that their ceiling and that they are capable of winning it? Sure. But a lot of pieces have to fall into place for that to happen, even with this roster as it stands right now. And then to wrap up the show today, I've heard this question kind of being bandied about and debated. Will this Stanley Cup winner have an asterisk? I always say that word weird. Whatever. Is it going to have to be qualified differently whenever they win the Stanley Cup this year? And my first reaction is yes, of course. One, because the NHL didn't finish the regular season, so it's not a normal year. And two, because they'll never decide a season like this again. This format, as great as it was to kind of put together, and I think that it is relatively fair, considering the circumstances of the world and what they've had to kind of fit into a tight timeline. While that is great, they're never going to go back to this kind of system. They're going to go back to how they did it before if all things are equal again, if all things are normal. So does it make them illegitimate winners? I don't know if I'd go that far. It's still going to be a grind to go through these playoffs, especially if they're 7-game series. Now, if they're just 5-game series, then for sure you've got to qualify this year's winners because it's not even close to the same. You're not even having the same opportunity of games played or wins that you have to accrue along the way to win a Stanley Cup. It's different. Still going to be a grind, but it's different. So it will need to be marked that way. And there will always be conversations with whoever wins the Stanley Cup that, you know, and especially if you're talking about legacies of players, like say the Penguins win the Cup again this year, there's always going to be a conversation of, well, in 2020, you know, was that really a legitimate Cup? Probably not. You know, maybe they don't have that to their marker. And so, you know, it's there, but I don't know if we really consider that a pure Stanley Cup that, say, Sidney Crosby or Evgeny Malkin can rack up and you know, contribute or attribute to their Hall of Fame careers. That's always going to be a part of the conversation, and I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, we want to say this right now that it's not going to be that way, but the reality is that it is. And especially whenever we get past this, because we will get past this, and we have seasons that look how we are used to seeing them, we're going to look back on this year and say, and question whether or not the best team was truly weeded out and if they truly won it in the same ways, because they didn't. This is a different format, and that's okay. All right, a question of the day as I wrap up here on the Early Morning Show. Will we see Antonio Brown in an NFL uniform next year? Is he coming back to the league? Do you really believe that? With all of his workouts, all of the guys that he has, you know, kind of rounded up to go run routes with, is he going to be back in the NFL next year? All right, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Their showroom is now open, and they're waiting to welcome you back with great incentives. Stop by or go to sunchevy.com. Today, mostly sunny and comfortable with a high of 73, and then tonight, a couple of showers late and a low of 55. The pre-show, it's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.